This is Tip TV Finance. Meet Jenny Hammond-Sakme and Mike van Dulken from Ascendo Markets. Mike, it's good to have you with us today. So what are you going to start off with?
So I think we've got three charts today, the FTSE, Worldpay and a third chart.
Kingfisher, but let's start with Worldpay then.
Yes, this one is an interesting one. Some might say, well, it's trading within a range, how boring. However, I think it's at quite a pivotal point in that if it breaks below 285, we could see a run all the way back to 265, maybe even 255, because let's not forget this chart is actually 18 months old. So it's in a lovely pattern. So likewise, if we break above 295, that neckline I've highlighted, it could be a run back to 320. So yes, it's in the middle of the range, but it's about to tell us which way it's about to go, unless of course it does decide to go sideways at 290 indefinitely. But from the action we've seen to date, I think there's potential for a good run, 10-15% either way.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to the next chart, and you've got the FTSE. It's looking good.
This is a very long-term chart, partly because looking at very short-term charts is pointless at the moment, as Zach will, I'm sure, agree. So I've gone all the way back to way before I even started in the city, just to show that, yes, the FTSE is, we've broken out to trading fresh record highs, but also the fact that the FTSE is technically not overbought on a monthly basis. Now, this is actually also true on a weekly basis, but of course, on a weekly basis, it has been overbought more recently. But we have to go back to almost the midst of the crisis to find when the index was last technically overbought on a monthly basis. Of course, it did sell off very quickly. But also what we need to look at is that the subsequent sell-offs weren't until after the FTSE was overbought maybe 2, 3, even 4 times. Mm. So it's not an automatic sell signal when something goes overbought. It's when it turns down and then breaks below that key level, which is 70. And you'll see there on the chart, we're still only at 68.2. And of course, on a monthly basis, that could take a while longer before it technically gets to overbought territory. But it still could be even some time before it turns down and delivers that sell signal. So with the discussions I'm having with many people, both colleagues and clients, is that the danger is trying to call the top of the market is incredibly difficult because, yes, we are trading at all-time highs and, yes, there are headwinds, but it's almost like it's more risky to not just call the top of the market but not being on board what could be a continual melt-up such as we saw with the US bourses, which just seem to go on and on and on. It will turn down at some point, don't get me wrong, but trying to call it now just because of where we are on the breakout and seeing the headwinds, I think we need to see some more major signals, not just on the daily charts, but I think going back to see confirmation on longer term, like weeklies and monthlies.
But this is a big deal anyway. I mean, it's breaking a triple top that's been on the chart there for 20 years.
Absolutely.
When even I was young, well, I was fairly young then. And now you've got a situation where you've got a possible measure move there, 7,000 back to 5,500 in the Brexit aftermath. That's 1,500 points. You add 1,500 to 7,000, and you're looking at 8,500 around that area, which is what that chart is pointing to.
Absolutely. I mean, the FTSE's, what's that, 20 points off, having technically, we haven't actually triggered it, but we know when it's going to be triggered. Markets aren't exactly getting worried. The only thing that maybe scuppered that a little bit this morning, although we're nowhere near coming back to where the breakout was very strong UK inflation data, which saw sterling spike higher. I think we're headline inflation is at highest since 2013,
yeah.
And core since 2015. So that takes us maybe a touch closer to a rate hike. It all depend on how far Governor Carney's prepared to let inflation run hot before he intervenes.
I'm looking at 5%.
5%.
No, because he just doesn't want to raise rates. So exactly. It could be anything. By the time he gets around to it, it could be that late. But that's the beauty of the whole thing here: that the longer he leaves it, the more the bulls have free rein on the market.
Exactly. I mean, they can just keep money for
same so the dovish hikes that like the dovish hike with the, in the US.
Indeed.
You have a dovish non-hike from Carney or a quarter of a percent next year. You know, the end of next year or something. I mean, he's that dovish, isn't he?
Well, the message the other day was surprising, but I think this will send us back to where we were. Like, hang on, you can't ignore this for how long? RPI was 3.2%. We're going to get that let that get. Maybe the RPI will get to 5. But whether we can get headline to 3 before he starts to react, I'm not so sure. So it does bring back what Kirsten Forbes said last week as the kind of lone dissenter. You know, maybe we have to pay heed a bit more to that.
She only said that when she was leaving.
True.
So there was that as well.
Stick a spanner in the works a little bit, but you know, it will need to be taken on board by those committee members who will be staying around a bit longer.
And a lot of commentators are speculating about a bubble in markets and stocks. Are you concerned about that at all?
Well, I mean, how long have they been saying that about US markets, and look where they are now? So, I mean, I think, you know, you mentioned 8,000. It really doesn't seem that ridiculous. On many metrics, stocks are overvalued, but they have been for quite a while. Mm. So, as I said, I think the danger is not being on board a continued melt-up and then even being more aggressive and trying to call the top. You're just likely to get burnt. You need to let the market show you that it has turned over. You know, by all means, calling the absolute top, yes, you get the biggest returns, but you also face the biggest risk.
Yeah.
So I think it's easier there to wait for the markets to, what would you have to break, below 7.2. I think you'd have to say, right, that is over. We are prepared for a bigger sell-off, perhaps from 7, as you said, back down to 5.6. But for the moment, you know, we're 200 points beyond that and looking to point even higher.
Good. Well, let's move on to Kingfisher, our final slide.
So this one is a nice, strong breakout from what was a fairly strong downtrend. It's even accelerated a touch. The only thing I'm looking at there is for the confirmation by a break above the 200-day moving average, which could easily open the door to 385, which would be a nice 10-15% up move from there.
So a bit of a falling wedge break, a little bit of that, and then also
more of a channel than a wedge, but yes.
But there's gaps on the way down, and filling that last exhaustion gap there. What was that, around 335 as well?
Yep.
And then coming back above that, it could actually be could be quite a lot of momentum then.
Yeah, I mean, break above, we've got a 20-day moving average, is the red hash line at the thin red hash line at the bottom. Then we got through 50, through 100, testing 100 for a sport, but also, as I said, waiting for that break above 200.
Super. Mike, thank you. Mike van Dulken there from Ascendo Markets.